Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. God's word for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Wish that all of you have wonderful the 4th of July, and some of you will be traveling, and pray for travel mercy so that you have a safe and a wonderful time with your family and friends. As we celebrate the Independence Day, we all know that living under political oppression by others is a terrible thing. However, worse thing is living under the darkness of evil power, but not knowing it, not aware of that reality and spiritual reality, but suffering the afflictions and calamities of the evil reality. That's, I say, even terrible and worse thing. That's why I believe Jesus taught us in his the Lord's Prayer, Lord, deliver us from evil and lead us not into temptation. So we will be looking into that topic today as we conclude our sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we give you thanks for our founding fathers, for their sacrifice. Many of them, they lost their properties, their families, even their own lives, so that we have this freedom and liberty and justice, that we can live as your children, created children of God. And for their sacrifice and for this freedom and this free nation, Lord, we give you thanks. But moreover, we pray and ask that, Lord, you open our eyes that we may see spiritual realities that we face all the time. And also, Lord, help us ask this question. Why, Lord, in the world, you taught us to pray? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Open our eyes, spiritual eyes, and our hearts, that we indeed know and understand and clearly and keenly be aware of this reality and respond with your spirit, with your holy word. In that way, we live under your freedom in your loving relationship. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. As you probably heard today's sermon title, you may have this thought in your mind. Pastor, you're going to really talk about the devil, the evil one? Are you serious? Can't you see that we are living in this 21st century with satellites, but plug your cell phones, wireless, Bluetooth, and those things about drones? Those things. You're going to talk about the devil or evil one? Yes, I'm going to talk about that. Because hear this, friends. Some of things, because we can't see and touch in our three-dimensional, with our eyes, with our hands, that doesn't mean those things don't exist. For example, wireless, Bluetooth, satellites, so many of those things we don't see, but think about how much those things influence our lives. Here's another reason that I want for us to think about this topic is Jesus, the Son of God, he knew firsthand through his 40 days of temptation that experienced by the devil, he had this first-hand experience of the influence and the danger, risk of the devil, how can that damage our relationship to God and to one another? And also, Jesus Christ, even the Son of God, he witnessed his beloved disciple Judas and Peter, how they miserably failed. He saw that. He saw and witnessed people are suffering under the spell of an evil spirit, illness, demon possession, many of that. Out of that first-hand experience, think about this. Jesus, even the Son of God, in his daily prayer, I believe, prayed this prayer, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from this evil one. Jesus, Son of God, prayed that every day, and the disciples saw that and heard that prayer and approached it. Jesus asked, Lord, teach us that we to pray like you do. So, this is real and reality. So, with this, let's go to the scripture. I want to share with you some of the scripture passages and examples by which we can see how the evil one, the devil, operates and works. It's beyond what we can see. It's beyond what we can touch. However, it is real. I want you, through these scriptural examples, have clear understanding how the evil one works and affects our lives. We need to be aware of its mode of operation and be able to then resist and fight back. In that way, we have this spiritual victory to us. First, go with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 says this, Now the serpent was more crafty. I know some of you are still thinking, Pastor, you mean a serpent, a snake? Is that the devil? Is that what you're talking about? And we don't have to take things literally, but this is what I'm thinking. A few days ago, I was doing some yard work at our backyard, and then there was a snake skin. I didn't see the snake. I don't see it. I'm sure that at least there are a few around the house. Here's the problem. I don't see those snakes. Hardly. But seeing the skin, they are there. Likewise, the evil one, the devil, who affects us, try to constantly separate us from God and God's love. They are there. In that sense, somewhat like snakes. We hardly see it, but it's there. It's there. And that snake or the devil told Eve, did God really say that you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? Did God really say that? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. Then here comes the serpent. Really? Oh, you are not going to die. Go ahead and eat. Besides, if you eat this, you'll be as wise as God. What is going on there? Devil is not something like with, you know, these protracted horns and that ugly tooth and pitchfork. I don't believe in that kind of devil. But when certain word and thought come to us, those are not in line with the Word of God. As we follow, the result is alienation, separation, and hostility between us and God, husband, wife, and parent, children, and people, and friends, when those relationships are severed and damaged, and then you tell me that the devil and evil one is working against us. That's what exactly happened. The devil, using the word and tongue, lying thoughts, went to Eve and said, eat, you are not going to die. What is that? That's lie. Oftentimes use half-truth and manipulate wrong thoughts and ideas. And with that, devil separate us from God and the love of God and from one another. That's what exactly happened. And after that, what? Gave it to his to her husband, and Adam, without saying a word, yes, dear, and he ate it. Then what happened? The relationship between God and Adam and even Eve was alienated. And then, this is what happens. The relationship between husband and wife been damaged. They start to blame each other. Here's the thing, parents and grandparents, even that negative consequence affected their children and grandchildren throughout humanity. If you read the book of Genesis chapter 4, Cain killed his brother. After God's clear warning, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. I know what you're trying to do. I know what you're thinking. Out of jealous and anger, you're going to kill, about to kill your brother. Don't do it, don't do it. You have choice. You don't have to do it. Don't do it, don't do it. The Satan was saying that you do this in this way, you get even, you get revenge, you feel better if you kill your brother. But the Spirit of God was saying, don't do it, don't do it. But he went ahead and did it. The consequence is the relationship between Cain and God forever changed. His relationship to his parents was changed. And then his relationship to other human beings changed. He lived for the rest of his life under the fear of someone one day may kill me. See that? And going to the Gospel of John chapter 12. In chapter 12, Jesus raised Lazarus. And then after that, the sisters, Martha and Mary, they wanted to thank Jesus and through this wonderful dinner. And Jesus was invited. And in the middle of the dinner, Mary brought this perfume worth 300 denarii. That's probably about 3 or 4 months of wage of a person. So it was huge. And then, guess who comes? Judas. He was so righteous. He was so right. And you're saying that, why was this perfume was being wasted? This should have been sold and have the money. We should have helped the poor. This is wrong. I can't stand this. This is wrong. He was just so upset and angry. He was just stomping. I can almost see that. And this is what the scripture said. He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Even after that, if you keep on reading Gospel of John chapter 13 and 14 and 15, and Jesus many times, Judas, I know what you are about to do. I know what you're thinking. I know you're upset, but don't do it. Don't do it. He gave, I believe, pretty much and pretty warning many times, but he ignored that. But this is what I read in between the line. He rather listened to the devil talking to him. Probably the devil talked to him something like this, not truth and lie and half truth or gossip and slandering. Judas, your teacher doesn't appreciate you. Your hard work, he doesn't appreciate you. He just embarrassed you. Why don't you go ahead and then deny him? Besides, he want to die for all the world? That's wrong. Your idea is correct. If a true Messiah and Savior would come, he should die only for the people of Israel. He's wrong. He can't be true Messiah. Therefore, it's okay for you to sell him, to betray him. That's okay, Judah. Go ahead and do it. Besides, people will remember you for the rest of the history as a hero. Go ahead. Do it. And he did it. So the relation between him and his loving teacher forever changed. Later he was so ashamed of himself. He could see other his disciples, all the people know his betrayal. The way they look at him, he couldn't stand that anymore. So he ended his own life. What happened? Follow the lie. slander, deception, and terrible consequences. One more. In the book of Acts 5:3, we hear about two people. In Acts 2, we hear Holy Spirit came upon the early church and people were filled with the Holy Spirit. Great things happened. They devote themselves as apostles, teaching and prayer. And people with generous hearts sold their properties and helped the poor. And Ananias and Sapphira, this couple, they thought that we ought to do that. Look at that, how people admire this generous act. Let's do that as well. So they sold their property, but Then later, Satan got into their heart and said, you know, we have this money, huge money. You know, let's put aside some. We may buy a vacation home. Well, with this money, we can remodel the kitchen. Peter won't know how much was the money, so let's just do this. Well, you know, it's a time to buy a new car. Let's just set aside this money. Peter, the pastor, won't know. Let's do it. Oh, God, nobody will know. Let's do it. And they followed the lie. And this is what the scripture says. And Peter asked to Ananias in 5:3, why has, he didn't say, Ananias, why did you lie to me? Instead, he says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep out part of the proceeds of the land? And then later he says, you did not lie to us, but to God. And Ananias and Sapphira, as a result of that, their relationship to God was damaged. Their relationship to their spiritual leader and pastor was severed, and they died. If I may summarize, this is what we know in terms of a spiritual reality. The evil one, the devil, works through words, tongues. Through human words, oftentimes lies and deceptions. Rumors and gossip, actually another meaning of the word devil means gossip, go between people and God, spread and cast gossip, slanders, and rumors. That's the original meaning of the word devil. By planting those lies and deceptions and slanders and angry thoughts and resentment, the devil's intention is always separate us from God and God's love. Separate husband and wife. Separate parents and children. Separate our brothers and sisters. Separate their spiritual leaders and pastors and members with resentment and anger, and causing anger and fight among members. Can't you see that? That's how the devil works. And because of that, Jesus told us, know this spiritual reality and pray every day humbly and sincerely. Lead us not into that affliction and calamity. Lord, rescue us, deliver us from evil. And that's what Jesus told us to pray. And then next, in the bulletin, we have this section. You can write down some of our thoughts and ideas. And first section is, what God has said to me today. I believe we heard God's word today. And next is, okay, now, Pastor, what should I do? Well, what should I do with this God's word that I know, that I heard today? Three things I want to share with you in that way. We can fight this spiritual battle well and win in this spiritual battle. If you'd write down, first is do the inventory. Do the inventory. Inventory, what I mean by that is there's no exception. That includes me. Everyone has some areas of weakness. Satan, the devil, knows that area, those areas, you know, we are weak. And that's the area. Everybody's different. That's the area, that specific area through which Satan get into us. Some of this example, some of us, we are weak in terms of controlling what we eat and drink. Even coffee can be too much of that. That's not good. And alcohol and substance abuse, about even some pain medicine. Some people are, I often hear, hooked and feel the control. And that can be. How about this? Money. Some people can control shopping and spending habit without comparing income and expense and balancing. Without that, fail to control spending and money. And when that doesn't work, and that's what, we are more anxious, and then we tend to blame spouse or people and other system, and we get miserable. About this misuse of tongue, spreading gossip, spreading rumors, the primary way of devil works is through our tongues. When we trust or rely on spread hearsay or half-truth, and through that we damage and hurt many people, our loved ones and ourselves, that's actually primary way of devil working through us. How are we controlling that? Paul in his letter says, if you do not control gossips and rumors, and that hurts us like spreading gangrene. Think about that. And one more thing. To me, this is one of my weak areas that I need to guard, get very careful. That is trying to do too many things and get frustrated. And then we get to blame and hurt our loved one. And I am guilty of that. How often we say, too many meetings, too much, and this, and I'm tired and exhausted, and then, also, our cult meeting, only two people showed up. When we have to do work and only just few people showed up, I'm tired of this, and that kind of thing, that kind of thing. Could it be that devil is using that? And I had to do some repentance. That's why we are doing this study on simple church. I struggle about this issue, try to make everybody happy, try to do too many things, but not anything, get it done right, seriously. How am I helping you really know Jesus and follow Jesus as Christ's disciples? How am I really in a focused way helping you to grow spiritually? Am I doing the job really in a focused way? Am I too tired? Don't you want to see our church have less meetings? Yes. And giving you more time that you can spend with your family and with grandchildren? Less frustration, getting more things in a meaningful, getting things done in a meaningful way, people's lives are being transformed and saved. And then I urge you, grab that book and read and come to the class. Let's figure this out, how we can prioritize and focus our mission and ministry. And next step is ask for support. To fight this spiritual battle, ask for support. Think about this. Jesus at Gethsemane, he was going through this terrible and trying time of temptation and trial at Gethsemane praying. He, Jesus, the Son of God, asked his disciples, pray with me on an hour. He was asking in his vulnerable time, the time of trouble and temptation, pray with me. I need your support. Here's the thing. If any of you think that you are so good and spiritual, you are so mature, you on your own can handle all this temptation from this evil one on your own, so you'll do well. And then, that means you are actually smarter and stronger than Jesus, the Son of God. No way. We all need godly brothers and sisters. Hear this. In James 5, 6, it says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." Ecclesiastes 4, 12, "And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." Be humble, open, and share to a trusted and godly friends and brothers and say, "This is the area that I'm struggling. This is the area that I often yield to Satan's temptation. Would you pray for me? When you see me next time, would you ask me how I am doing on this?" Then we have better chance of winning. 3. Ask the Lord to help you through your Lord's prayer and daily prayer. Let me ask you this question. When you recite this Lord's prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." And next, when we pray, "Lead us not into time of temptation, but deliver us from evil." How many of you seriously stop and think, "Lord, this is a serious thing. In the past, I failed this area, and as a result of that, those my wrong decision, following that deception, caused me this much pain and suffering. I don't want to be that and do that. Lord, seriously, I need your help. So I pray, deliver me, Lord, with your mighty help so that I don't go through that pain and suffering." Would you do that? And the Lord will help you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, thanks be to God, he did not yield to the temptation in the wilderness for 40 days and Gethsemane and won the victory, so you and I, we are restored and reconciled to God. Aren't you glad and grateful that our Jesus Christ didn't yield, won this victory for us, bring us back to Christ? I mean, God, let's not give up. Do your spiritual inventory. Ask for godly friends pray for you. You yourself pray. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ. How difficult and tough it must have been when he was fasting for 40 days in the wilderness in Judean desert. Yet he was very clear. Stick to you and your word and your spirit, resisted the devil and won the victory. Even at Gethsemane and even on the cross, you did not yield to those temptations, but you yielded yourself to God, who eventually vindicated you. Through his life and ministry of a victory, we too have this hope. Not on our own strength, our wisdom, our experience, as we do this spiritual inventory, and also as we seek help from our brothers and sisters, and also help others, as we pray daily this prayer, Lord, we believe that you are the one who is greater than the world. You are the sovereign God. You will give us victory. Lord, bless us. Through these overcoming temptations, may we ever draw closer to you and be loving to you, loving to our spouses, our children, and our fellow members, and also to this church. We ask this in Jesus' holy name, and all God's children say, Amen. Would you prepare your hearts and minds to receive the communion? Christ our Lord invites to